Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Today, we are back on the superannuation train, but rather than looking at contributions or retirement income as we have done in recent episodes, we're going to be focusing in on the investment options within our superannuation. So the types of assets our super is invested in, how we can go about choosing an investment mix, the kind of questions we should be asking to ensure that that mix is right, and the help that's available from super funds themselves. And to explore these points and more, I am very pleased to say that we're joined today by Jeremy Lack from Telstra Super Financial Planning. Jeremy, welcome back to Friends with Money.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be back on the pod.
Lovely to have you back on, mate. To start us off, let's lay a bit of groundwork, shall we? How do investments in super work exactly? And what sorts of things do super funds actually invest in?
Good question. So when contributions are made to your super fund, whether it's those that your employer makes on your behalf or additional contributions you might choose to make, this money is used to buy units in one or more investment options within your account and then typically invested across a range of different asset classes with the aim being to grow your money over the long term. When super funds invest, it's usually across a broad range of holdings. These can include, just as a few examples, things like Australian shares, international shares, office buildings, infrastructure like airports and roads, cash, bonds, and even things like foreign currency and gold. Each of these investments have different characteristics. Some target high growth, but might be more volatile in the short term. Others seek a lower return, but with less volatility. And this is important as it helps to diversify portfolios, but also cater to the varying needs of different super fund members.
So a real variety of investments then, Jeremy. So what are the types of investment options that members themselves have to choose from?
So generally speaking, most super funds will offer a range of pre-mixed investments. And because people's circumstances are different, these diversified options have different characteristics. When you choose a pre-mixed investment option, you're likely to have some level of exposure to most, if not potentially all of those assets I mentioned earlier. But it's the weighting or level of exposure that varies depending on the option that you hold. For example, a growth option might have a high allocation to shares and property, but relatively low allocation to, say, cash. And as a result, this investment would seek to deliver a higher average return over the long term. However, this does mean there's a greater likelihood of variable returns and a higher probability of experiencing a negative return in the short term. On the flip side, a conservative option might have a higher percentage of defensive assets like cash and bonds, and a comparatively small amount in shares and property. This means a conservative option is targeting a lower long-term return, but we would also expect there to be less volatility in the short to medium term as a result. Beyond that, many super funds also offer what are called single sector options as well. For example, you may be able to select an investment which holds, just say, Australian shares or international shares or property or bonds, just as a few examples. And then you might also be able to purchase ETFs or individual shares through your super fund as well. However, people should be really cautious when considering this, as it does significantly increase the level of risk within a portfolio. And you won't have the same level of diversification or asset allocation management. There's just one other thing I wanted to touch on in relation to that question, which is the default option that people go into when they don't make an investment selection. Because many people, let's face it, don't make a choice in their super as to how their money's invested. And so if you don't make a choice, you'll be placed in your super fund's My Super investment option, which is the default option. Each super fund manages their default option in a different way, so there isn't a uniform approach. For example, some funds like Telstra Super offer a life cycle default option, which will adjust the exposure to growth and defensive assets based on age milestones. Those who are younger have more exposure to shares and property. And the thinking here, Tom, is that they have more time to ride out the volatility in markets in pursuit of greater long-term returns. But in a life cycle investment, the weighting shifts as people get closer to retirement to include more exposure to defensive assets like cash and bonds. And this is done to look to reduce the level of volatility people experience as they get closer to needing to draw on their money to provide them with income in retirement. But not all my super investments work in this way, and some default options don't adjust the underlying assets automatically. So the investment holdings might be the same for people at different stages of life. Either way, it's very important to understand how your money is invested and to determine whether it's right for you.
Makes complete sense. And that was a great run through, Jeremy. Really interesting, especially the lifestyle products. Not something that I've looked at a lot myself, but it's interesting to hear about how, I guess, they're quite agile and that they can, I guess, really adapt to someone's age and, you know, as you said, the volatility that might suit them as they get older. One of the big questions that a lot of people will probably have when it comes to their super is, how do you know what's right for you? And I guess related to that, is it actually important to get that investment mix right?
That's a really great question, Tom. So we generally suggest that people consider their risk profile when selecting investments within their super account. Your risk profile essentially helps to determine your appetite for growth, but also tolerance to negative market returns as well. It's also important to overlay this with some consideration regarding how long you will be investing for, your broader financial situation, as well as your needs and objectives. In terms of how important this is to get right, simply put, it's incredibly important. Investing money in the right way for you is one of the most important levers you can pull in ensuring the long-term health of your super and can make a significant difference come retirement time. If your long-term returns are too low, you run the risk of retiring with less than you otherwise might have had. This could mean you have less income after work, or potentially you run out of money earlier, both of which would have a profound impact on your lifestyle. Alternatively, if people take on more risk than is appropriate, they might find they're vulnerable to a market correction at the wrong time. This can be particularly damaging in the 5 to 10 years either side of retirement, where people have less time to recover from losses. As you can see there, it's a bit of a balancing act. There's probably just a couple of other things just to think about when selecting investments as well. So first of all, don't focus on past returns. A common mistake people make is selecting investment options solely on historic performance. Returns on investments in super aren't guaranteed, and it's crucial to consider the characteristics of any investment and how these align with your personal needs and tolerance for risk. Secondly, remember that super is a long-term investment. From time to time, we're going to see negative returns. And when that happens, it is tempting for people to react to this and switch to a more conservative option or even cash. However, the danger of a knee-jerk reaction is that people switch during a downturn, lock in the impact of any losses, but when markets do recover because they've sold out of growth assets, they're not fully participating in that recovery. And this can prove incredibly costly and result in people retiring with much less than they otherwise would have had. Finally, don't try and time the market. Investment markets are unpredictable, and our emotions heavily influence our reactions to volatility. It's far more important to select an investment option that you're comfortable with in terms of potential for short-term volatility, but also gives you the long-term returns you need to meet your objectives.
Jeremy, I'll be completely honest that while I do check my balance pretty regularly, I think probably every month at this point now, I actually can't remember the last time that I looked at the specific investment option that my money's in. It's probably been a couple of years, I'd say. So for people like me who may want some guidance with their investment options, how can we actually go about getting help?
First of all, Tom, really glad that you're taking some interest in your super balance and how that's growing. So that's fantastic.
Thank you. Yep.
People should be able to log into their online portal or the app that their super fund might provide and hopefully get a bit of a sense as to their money, how their money is invested, because that information is generally provided by super funds online. But the first port of call in how to get help on this is really to speak to your super fund, I think. Most super funds like Telstra Super have help and guidance you can access at no additional cost as part of your membership. Telstra Super members also have access to an online digital advice tool, which is provided by Telstra Super Financial Planning, and can provide a recommendation about which of Telstra Super's investment options might be best for them. Alternatively, you may also be able to access more detailed advice around your investments and other planning needs as a paid service. Finally, this is a really important area of your overall financial situation to get right. Spending a bit of time on this now could make a difference to your balance come retirement.
Excellent place to leave things off then, Jeremy. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure to have you back on the podcast, and we'll look forward to having you back on at some point in the near future.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me again, Tom.
That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, we will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, I'm Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.